Welcome. My name is Carl Schellström, and this is the second part of the abridged discussion that John Butters and I recorded in the late summer of 2023, talking about family businesses, executive compensation, and long-term incentives. This second part, we talk about incentives, and it follows on from the salary and benchmarking discussion that we held in the first part.
Well, so let's go on to bonus schemes, or I've put short-term incentive plans, which is a bit of jargon I've picked up while I've been working on this, but bonus schemes. This is another way into the wider philosophy of reward, so I'm not going to do it to death. But the first question I've got is it necessary to pay a bonus?
So why do we have incentives? And you'll find lots of studies that show that incentives don't work, and you'll find lots of academic studies that show that incentives do work. Unfortunately, a lot of both categories studies are generally tend to be flawed because in incentives, first of all, incentives always work because the way you structure an incentive is you do X, you get Y. So if someone's done X, they get Y, the incentive has worked. But if you get X and Y wrong, that's not that incentives don't work. It's how you implement
it. Yeah, so you said do X and really you wanted Z.
Exactly.
And you said you get Y and then you think actually Y was rather big.
Yes.
You know, you've got it all wrong.
You've got it all wrong. And so we need to be very careful with how we use it and why we use it. If we then look back at the salary example, why would it be better to pay an incentive? Well, one, we pay just once for good performance or for whatever reason we wanted to pay the bonus. Secondly, in having incentives, we shift risk. We shift risk away from the company onto the individual. To do that, we tend to have to pay a premium. So the earnings opportunity becomes higher because you accept the incentive. So if you want to pay me a salary of 100 and no bonus, I might also be happy to take a salary of 75 with a 25 bonus for meeting my target. That could be a 50 bonus for doing an exceptional job, but a zero bonus if things don't go well for the company. That means that in bad times, the company only needs to pay 75. In good times, when we can afford it, we can pay more. So that risk has shifted away from the company and the owners onto the individual, and it's in the individual's interest because if things go well, they can do better, and they'll take that arrangement if they have faith in themselves and faith in their ability to deliver, which again is a strong thing. But the other thing, the most fundamental one, is that incentives, I'll put it like this, everybody's motivated by money. Problem is we don't know how. So if we can find individuals who are willing to kill their grandmother for 10 bucks, and we can find other people who will not sign a piece of paper for $1 million because they feel it's immoral or whatever. Mm. So the motivation part of an incentive tends to be at least unpredictable, if not weak. But what is always very clear is that an incentive signals. So the short-term incentive, if we say you can get 25 for doing this and 50 for doing exceptionally well, there's no way I don't hear that X or whatever it is that we've said I need to do is important. And for this is a very important management tool for many companies. You can do it for management and just pay a salary, or you can emphasize what the board, the owners, and senior management believe are the right things to pursue in order for the company to be successful through using incentives that signal that this is what is important. But if we say, you know, go generate profits, and what we really mean is to grow the company, then we might not get the right behavior.
But that's one of the most important things you said to me early on in our conversations. You said it's a communication tool.
Yeah.
Because I was very much, particularly again, talking about LTIPs, I was very much thinking, well, what's in it for us? You know, it seems to be a mechanism other than the opportunity to hire the kind of people who want LTIPs. And then you think, well, is that a good thing or a bad thing? This point of having a very clear communication tool was your central point. And it stuck with me. And as I've gone through the process of particularly the LTIP, I've come to understand how powerful that could potentially be. Perhaps we'll get into that later. So let's get on to long-term incentive plans. We've touched a bit already on my first question, which was, why do it? What we've said is it's a communication tool. So if you've got nothing to say, you might consider whether you should just not do it for a while until you've worked out what you want to say. But could you unpack that a little bit in the context of long-term plans?
I think to unpack the long-term incentive plan, the reason we have long-term incentive plans, I mean, there are many. As we have mentioned before, it's a signaling tool and it encourages the participants to take a more long-term view. That's common with most. We then also consider things like retention, so keeping people in the company, and the ability to be on the journey with the owners in the value creation of the company. Mm-hmm. Those are really important factors, but also factors we need to be careful with and think about to what extent it's right to have them and not to have them. I mean, if you want to give me free money, I will not say no. But it has consequences. It costs the family, in a family business, to part with the results of the long-term incentive. And the way we do it is therefore really, really important. So the retention part, absolutely. If I have money that I need to leave on the table, most people will at least think twice before leaving. But if you're in a sector or someone is of a quality where there are lots of people looking, most companies will somehow overcome what it requires to buy someone out.
Yeah, so if they want to poach your people, they will.
They will. And you know, a lot of family businesses are worried about the competition from private equity. For example, private equity often have deeper pockets. And there's a lot of companies are worried about meeting that level of both compensation, but also then buyouts and so on. And I think one needs to be very careful with that. If you go fighting private equity on their terms, it's quite a tough battle. But family businesses have a lot of aspects to them that private equity find difficult to compete with. So I would more consider how can we do that and therefore design any long-term incentive that you are going to put in place in such a way that it draws on your advantages rather than just trying to keep up. The other thing for family businesses is there's also a tendency to try to be as close to publicly quoted companies as possible. And long-term incentives for a family business or any privately owned business goes for private equity too. Any part of the long-term incentive that is paid out comes out of the pockets of the family. It's not paid for by the market. Private equity can be at the end sale, but For families, no, unless you're going to sell the business. So the first question should always be to a family, are you going to sell the business? Because then you will be looking at this differently. Mm-hmm. If you're not, if you're looking at having this company in the ownership of the family from generation to generation, you need to be very careful with your equity, and you need to be careful with how you pay out equity-like incentives, long-term incentives. Because long-term incentives, therefore, the greatest threat to the family business is the formula by which they're designed. The formula is what will drive it. And if you have a formula that tries to just copy, say, the market value, you may have payouts that drive, and I've seen this, payouts that drive the business into sale, because the business is not flush with cash, the family hasn't got the cash to pay it out, and you've given up a large stake to executives, and the executives are looking for payment because mm-hmm. they are on a different time trajectory to the family.